Amen. That was good singing, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Today's the first day of spring. Ain't that something? Hallelujah. We got snow coming tonight. Maybe. I don't think so, but the Lord is good. Take your Bible, turn anywhere. I'll tell you what, some of y'all look like a man, like you were a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, man. You're just like scared to death. These people are shouting and saying amen. Look like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, you know. But nothing wrong with praising the Lord, amen. Nobody's going to fall out in the aisle and start speaking in tongues and all that crazy stuff. We don't go for that. But they might fall in the aisle, though. I mean, that might happen. I tell you what I decided this morning. I went to the bank. I got me $1 million for everybody. I got everybody $1 million. There's a $1 million bill. You ever seen one of them? Ain't that a blessing? I'll give you one. Share the wealth. I was trying to talk to Donald Trump to do that, but he didn't want to hear it. So anyway, take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 this morning. There was a verse on my mind all day yesterday. I couldn't think of it. I couldn't get away from it. Then I got some calls that were kind of strange that kind of goes along with the verse. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, I want you to look at this. And we're reading on down there, 5 and verse 12. I was telling people, if you read the book of Romans, and the book of Romans is showing you that you're going from law to grace, just like a Galatians. I thank God we're not under law anymore. Amen. If we were under law, brother, we'd all be dead in the grave and in hell with our backs broken, eyes scratched out. But thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, start at verse 1. I'll read there so you can get the whole gist of it. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That peace is that, you know, we were enemies. You were enemies of God. Before you were saved, you were enemies. You were God's enemy. And people don't like to hear that, but I know God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But when a man rejects that truth and rejects the peace of God, or rejects the salvation that God's provided, he becomes an enemy. And he is an enemy. And the Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And I mean, you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead and so on. Jesus, he said, man, that statement don't make no sense. But Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. But sin, we're all sitting here this morning, we're all sinners. And we're sinners saved by grace. And, you know, I've talked to people about their soul. I've talked to folks, and I had a guy call me, came by here Wednesday night, wanted me to go see somebody who's got cancer. And, you know, the hardest thing for you to admit is that you're a sinner and you deserve to be in hell. That's the hardest thing for anybody to admit. They think, what they think is, I've been a good person. I've been a good person. God's going to weigh my good and my bad, and my good's going to outweigh my bad, and I'm going to get to go to heaven. No, that ain't true. That's what religion teaches. And that's not what God says. God says, you want to go to heaven, you go through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And religion, I'm a Baptist preacher, but Baptist church can't save you. Amen. There's not a religion on the face of the earth that can save you. But people trust religion. They're trusting religion. And that's a shame. But look what the Bible says, having peace with God, and by whom also we have access by faith into this grace that wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patients' experience. And that's when people ask you, do you have any experience of doing the job? They always say, have you got any experience doing it? And what they're asking you, have you been through any tribulation in it? And it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience' experience, and experience hope. And it says, the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. Jesus Christ died for us. My father thought because we were Methodists, we were going to go to heaven. And man, we cussed, drank, did all that stuff. My father trashed business, and we carried on. And then I got into roofing, doing roofing. But my dad thought, well, we was good. We put money in that church. We should be able to go to heaven. But we're all sinners. And, you know, it started in the garden. Sinners come through the garden. But I want you to get down to this verse. We'll get to the message. But it says, verse 6, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man should some even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet what?
Sinners.
Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. The night my brother got killed, I went outside. I told y'all the story. You've heard a million times. I've said, God, I cursed God. I said, you blankety blank. If you were up there, I drag you out of heaven, all that stuff. And God still had mercy on me.
Amen. Thank you.
Has mercy on you. Thank God for a merciful God. But it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, see that thing? We were enemies. It says you were enemy. If you weren't with him, he said, you're either with me or you're against me. If you're here today, you're not saved. You're God's enemy. You're against him. You say, well, I don't feel that way. If you reject his son, you're his enemy. Why? His son paid your sin debt.
Amen.
I was telling a young man Wednesday night, I said, you know, you're an enemy of God if you're not saved.
Right.
You've turned your back on and said, well, you know, he said, what is truth? Pilate said that. What is truth? And Pilate was, you know, the one that was supposed to sentence Jesus Christ, which he did. And what is truth? You want to know the truth? And I said this in Sunday school. Winston Churchill said, most men will trip over the truth, get up, brush themselves off like nothing ever happened, and go on. The truth is important, man. The truth is that we're sinners and we deserve to be in hell. But thank God for his grace. Amen. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, if you know anything about your Bible, the atonement in the Old Testament, they had to get their sins atoned for. Sin entered into the world. And the Bible's next verse, look what it says. Wherefore, as by one man, I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe that we came from animals. We got laws that's on the books right now in America and around the world. There's a law that God puts in man even, that God put there. And God puts in every man a measure of faith. And when a person says, I can't get saved, I'm just too bad, and all that stuff, God put in every man a measure of faith. I know the Holy Ghost has got to draw you and show you you're a sinner and make you realize that you need to get saved. But it says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world. Who was that one man? Adam. That one man, Adam. Adam wanted to, think about this. Adam took of the fruit willfully and ate from the fruit willfully. Why? Because he loved his bride, Eve. He knew she was going to have to leave the garden. He knew he couldn't live without her. That's why Jesus Christ willfully went to a cross, willfully. He said, no man taking my life. I lay it down. And I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again.
Amen.
Why? He was God in the flesh.
Right.
It says, wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Everybody deserves death by sin. You know why people die? You know why? I've done over 200 funerals. I thought I've done a lot of funerals. Well, I found out Al Dickerson done 900 of them. I said, man, I don't think I could emotionally take that. 200 is wearing me out. 200 watching people mourn and cry and torment. Man, it tears me up inside. It just tears me up. Seeing babies being buried. Death by sin. So death passed upon, look what it says. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Talking about little children. Now, the verse that was stuck in my mind, take your Bible, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I woke up thinking about it, and I kept thinking about it. And then I got some phone calls yesterday. It made me think about what this verse. And this verse says this. Look what it says. Ecclesiastes 9:18. Look what it says. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wisdom is having knowledge and using it right. Wisdom is having the knowledge and be able to use right the knowledge that you have. And then understanding. And wisdom is better than the weapons of war. But look what it says. But one sinner destroyeth much good. That verse was in my mind all day yesterday. One sinner destroyeth much good. One sinner destroyeth much good. And then I started thinking about in the Bible, there's a lot of examples in the Word of God. And, you know, one sinner destroys much good. It's all about decisions that you make. And you're sitting here this morning, you're going to make decisions today where you're going to eat. You're going to make decisions where you're going to, what you're going to do. You're going to make decisions the rest of the week. But it says one sinner destroys much good. So when you make decisions, you better be careful about how you make your decisions.
Yes, sir.
You better be praying about it. You better be asking God to lead you. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So when it comes to saying one sinner destroyeth much good, there's an example in the Word of God. I mean, for number one is Genesis. Adam, you know, he was in the garden, perfect environment. I mean, man, didn't have to work for his food. He had everything available. And Eve decided, got talked into by the devil to eat the fruit, and Adam ate it willfully. Eve, the Bible says, was deceived, but Adam ate it willfully. And I've talked to evolutionists. They say, oh, I don't believe that story in the Bible. I believe that, you know, I believe we came. And they're the craziest people everyone talked to. When you talk about evolution, they have to go back. They have to go back and give millions, and then they go, now they're saying billions of years ago, and then the earth slung off the sun, and it came through space, and as it molded itself and made it round, perfectly round, and then what happened was there's condensation that came upon it, and there was no life because there was fire. And then all of a sudden water came, and after millions and millions and millions and millions of years, all of a sudden a little amoeba shows up. Where did that amoeba come from? And that one amoeba, how did we know it was female or male? And then all of a sudden the other amoeba shows up. And where did it come out of nowhere? And then all of a sudden for millions of years they swam around, and then one day as they were swimming by, the male amoeba saw the female and went, hey, baby. Let's get together. And then they had, after millions and millions and millions of years, they had more baby amoebas. And then after a while, yeah, that's funny, ain't it? You got to be crazy to believe that. You got to be nuts. Amen. And I said, I dealt with these college guys and professors and all, and they don't want to debate nobody about the Word of God. They just, so, you know why they don't like the Bible? I'll tell you why they don't like the Bible. Because they're sinners. And they don't want to deal with their sin. And when a man won't deal with his sin, he's hopeless. For you to have to deal with your sin. One sinner destroys much good. You better deal with your sin. And then all of a sudden, this amoeba ends up flopping up on the land. And it grew legs. And it grew some legs. And all of a sudden, it could breathe out of the water. And man, what a miracle. Millions and millions of years went by. And all of a sudden, that amoeba, it started, got arms. And millions of years went by. And all of a sudden, that amoeba could swing from a tree. And all of a sudden, man, that amoeba has got intelligence. You always see the news. They always say, this orangutan came from the family of the humans. You look at that orangutan, you know what a orangutan will do? He'll make a mess and then he'll eat it. And I mean, there's all kinds of filth that they do. You go, man, that ain't my cousin. I don't want nothing to do with that sucker, man. I'll tell you what, it might be your cousin. I tell him, I say, it might be your cousin, but it ain't mine. Yeah, brother-in-law, son-in-law. One sinner destroys much good. Man don't want to deal with their sin. And that verse kept popping in my mind. I had a guy call me yesterday. Matter of fact, I called this guy, and he just got out of prison. And I was trying to encourage him. He said, what was he in prison for? Well, I don't even know. He might be here today. He might be here today. Just got out of prison. And I was talking to him, and he made some decisions. And he made some bad decisions. And he said he realized that. He made bad decisions. One sinner destroys much good. You make a bad decision, it can destroy a lot of things in your life. One sinner destroys much good. Take your Bible, look in Joshua chapter 7. Look in Joshua chapter 7. Here's a guy that knew what was right. Knew what was right. And this guy ends up, he was told by Joshua, and his example in the Bible, he was told by Joshua not to touch, he told the people of God, he said, don't touch anything in Jericho. Everything in Jericho, when we destroy the city, don't touch nothing. It all belongs. You don't touch nothing. You don't take nothing and all that. And then chapter 7, they go up to a little town called Ai. And here's the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. They were slaves, man, for 430 years. And they're coming out of Egypt. And they're coming up out of Egypt. And they And they come, the Lord's given victory after victory. He's seen the Red Sea open. They've seen the Jordan open up. I mean, they've seen all these great victories God brought in their life. And God was using them in a mighty way. And they never lost a battle. Think about this. If Israel would never had sin, they would have never lost a battle. Never. Never. You know, David never lost a battle. But the only battle David lost was with his flesh. That was the only battle David lost. David was a fighting machine. But anyway, they go up to Ai, and this one guy makes a decision that he's going to take some stuff. Wants the gold. He wants the Babylonian garment and all that stuff. And he takes it, and he hides it in his tent, and he digs a hole and puts it in his tent. And then God brings judgment. God knows what he did. And then the guy brings judgment, and the children of Israel said to Joshua, let's not all go up to Ai. Let's send 3,000. So they go up, and then they lose their tail. 36 men die because of this one man. 36 men. One sinner destroys much good. One man takes and steals and takes these things that he wants, and one sinner destroys much good. 36 men. Look at verse 5. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. That was fathers, brothers, and that lost their life, that left their children, left their wives behind. For they chased them. So then Joshua falls on his face, chapter 7. He falls on his face and said, God, why did we even cross over Jordan? I mean, Joshua, and it affected the whole camp. Yeah. It affected everybody because one sinner destroyed much good. It affected everybody. There was 1 million people or more, maybe 2 million. And it affected the whole camp. They got discouraged, and they said, Joshua got down. He said, why in the world did we cross over? Why in the world did we go on? Why? Because God told him to. And Joshua, God tells Joshua, get up off your face. Amen. He said, there's sin in the camp. Amen. He said, I want you to deal with it. Yeah. And look what the Bible says. And they have all the tribes come in front of them. And this guy, Achan, ends up being chosen. Look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to God and the God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. And when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold and 50 shekels of weight, when I covered them and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, and man, look at this. Look at verse 25. He says, why hast thou troubled us? And the Lord hath troubled thee. And the Bible says, and they all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. You know who that was? That was his whole family. Yeah. Women, children, everybody. Right. One sinner destroyed much good. Yeah. 36 men died. The whole nation was just a new nation just coming out. And this one guy decides, I'm going to do what I want. And I'm going to take what I want. One sinner destroys much good. Your decisions that you make is going to affect a lot of people. Your decisions, men, if you choose to step out on your wife, it's going to affect your family, your children, your grandchildren. It's going to affect your church family. It's going to affect everybody.
Amen.
Oh, what I do, I'm just going to hurt myself. Ain't nobody else's business what I do. Yeah? One sinner destroys much good. Take your Bible, look at 2 Samuel. Here's David. David, king of Israel. Man, there's so many examples in the Word of God. I just grabbed a few. Here's David, 2 Samuel chapter 11. David ends up, and in my Bible it says David's great sin. Like I said, we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. But one sinner destroys much good. You got to be careful about decisions you make. You better be careful. The Bible says the men of Sodom were sinners exceedingly. The men of Sodom. You know what Sodom? You know, we still use that word, sodomite. The news media still They say about a guy molesting a child. They said he sodomite the child. You know what that is? That's, and here right now, the sodomites have come out of the closet. And the sodomites want their rights. Just like in Noah's day. I mean, yeah, just like in Noah's day, just like in Lot's day. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why they're called sodomites. Men with men. The Bible tells you that in Romans chapter 1. Here we are in the day. People say, oh, the Lord ain't coming back. Jesus said, man, when that day happens, we're at that day. Sodomites. You say, what are they? They're homosexual. Lesbian. They're at the, where it wouldn't, man, it's 10 years ago, if you would have said that you have to be with the sodomites to become a president. You have to have their vote. There was a man-boy association. I've mentioned this years ago. There's a man-boy association in Washington, D.C., and their motto is sex after 8 is too late. Sex after 8 is too late. They want to get a hold of your children. They say, well, I was born with it. No, you have to recruit. And the sodomites want to get a hold of the children. Why? Innocence. They can't have children on their own. Why? Because God never ordained Adam and Steve.
Amen.
It was Adam and Eve. It's always Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. But who would have thought, man, that we're at the day and age? I'm not telling the advocate and go out, let's go kill them. No. They need to get saved.
Yeah.
I got a good preacher friend of mine. He comes to church here. His son went that way. Yeah. He called me up and said, I'm quitting the ministry. I said, you ain't quitting, man. You don't quit. His son just married some guy. He called me up and said, Alan, he started to get right. He said, can they get right? Yeah, but that sexual sin is so bad. I mean, fornication is bad enough when a man messes around with a girl and they have a child outside of wedlock and not committing to them. That's bad enough. I mean, they can get it right. Don't get me wrong. They things can get right. But when a man with a man or a woman with a woman, we had a girl come in here. Man, she was a lesbian. She came to church. She got saved. I knew she was a lesbian. I didn't tell nobody. She came and got saved, man. And she was on fire. She started growing and started going, learning the word of God. And then next thing I was looking around, there was her girlfriend that came to church with her. And you know, after 2 weeks, that girlfriend drug her out. She called me up, and I've talked to her on the phone, and she's crying. She's standing out on the road. She's holding a sign, and she's crying. And she said, she's throwing me out. And I try to encourage her to do what's right. One sinner destroys much good. You know, most children that get molested is always by a family member, always a cousin or something like that. I've had it in my home. I've had it, I'm not my house, not my house, but in my family line. Molestation. One sinner destroyed much. You know what that messes up a kid's mind? I watched a documentary about a girl that was 13 years old. She said her uncle was molesting her. And she went to court. And they said that she didn't have enough evidence. They threw it out. That girl, she's 21 years old right now. She's a drug addict, and she just drugs out until she falls out. She drinks. Why? She said, nobody ever believed me anyway. It messes up their mind. It messes up their life. And guy, so he can have some satisfaction. One sinner destroys much good. You make that decision to do something like that, God have mercy on you. He said, can I get forgiven? Yeah, you can get forgiven, but there's consequences.
Sure.
Thank God, any sin anybody ever committed, God will forgive.
Yep.
Murder. See, I've had people say, well, only one sin God won't forgive is murder or blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. I said, God forgive all sin. Man won't forgive.
Right.
There's consequences, too. There's consequences. I had somebody call me yesterday, another call. I said to my wife, I said, what in the world? I know for a recommendation of somebody that messed up. David messes up here in chapter 11 with Bathsheba, has a man killed. And David, you know what it cost him? It cost him, we don't have time to get all, because I got baptism afterwards. It says, look at verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 1, or 11, verse 1. And it came to pass as the year was expired, the time when the kings go forth to battle. I wanted to say this too. You know why child molestation is going on so heavy? You know why that stuff's going on? Because number one is pornography. Yes, pornography. And you kids, you got the cell phones, and I've got a cell phone. And man, it's innocent. I mean, I push a button and all of a sudden it comes up. And it shows you, you know, you want to see this girl, you want to see that, and you see this. I'm going, my Lord. They're pushing it day in and day out to mess up your mind, mess up your life. I said, man, it could be good for a kid not to have a stinking smartphone. Let them have just a flip phone. That's it. Man, there's so much. I know the kids don't like that, but, man, they'd rather have a smartphone. But look what the Bible says. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servant, with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and so on. And it came to pass, verse 2, in the end of eventide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the housetop. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. To make a long story short, David ends up sending for this woman. He said, he inquired, said, who is this woman? Man, who is she? She's beautiful. And they said, that's Uriah the Hittite's wife. She was a young woman. He said, man, shoo, send for her. Man always falls in love with what he sees. Woman falls in love with what she hears. And he said, send for her. And then he ends up messing around with her, have a child. And then, to make a long story short, he ends up having her husband killed so he can have his wife. Yep. You know what that cost David? One sinner destroyeth much good. That cost David four of his children. Four of his children died because of him, that sin. God tells him that. He said, you got four of your children. Why? Because the pronouncement came out of David's own mouth. One sinner destroyeth much good. Let me ask you, you better be careful about making decisions. You better be careful about thinking about you all the time. Because when you start thinking about you all the time, all you can think is how bad everything is for you. And how woe is me. And all nobody appreciates what I do and all that stuff. So how do you know? I've been through the same stinking mess. And you know what I do? I tell myself, shut up, you idiot. I call myself an idiot. You idiot, shut up. Why? That's the flesh. Your flesh will tell you what you want to hear. Your flesh, you say, what do you mean? In your mind, the devil will whisper in your ear and start telling you, you deserve better. They don't treat you right. I mean, this and that. The devil will tell you all kinds of stuff to get you to thinking about more about you. That's why the Lord always says, others. Get your mind on others. The joy means Jesus first, others second, you last. One sinner destroyeth much good. The Bible says, Psalms 1, verse 1, and like I said, we don't have time, but it says this. It says, bless the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of what? You know what? You know what? In America and around the world, we've had so many people standing in the way of sinners. Why? They said, well, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to pray. You don't need to get right. You don't need to do all that. You don't need that. And then your life doesn't back up what you say. You know what you're doing? You're a roadblock. You're a roadblock. Your life is a roadblock to somebody coming to Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're reading you. They're looking at you. You say you name the name of Christ. He says, well, I won't mention Jesus Christ. But he's still inside you. We had a boy who used to run around in the gang. And that boy, I knew something was different about him. I couldn't figure it out. He's a big old boy, David Belcher. He's a preacher now. David Belcher, I couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. And when my brother was killed, he came and sat on the front porch and cried. But he never opened his mouth about Jesus Christ to me. I knew there was something different about him. I couldn't put my finger on it. But he was saved. People know, man, they sense it around you. They are sensitive. You're saved. You belong to God. One sinner destroys much good. You better be careful what you look at. You better be careful what you're feeding on. I see people all the time. All they do is walk around with their phones like this. All the time. You see him in the car. You see him doing this. I found myself doing it. I said, threw that thing down. Amen. If I don't spend as much time in this book as I do,
right. Yeah. Come on, preacher.
You got to counter that thing.
Yep. Right.
Jesus was accused. Take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus was accused. What I'm saying, there's a cure. The Lord, one sinner destroyed much good. The Lord loves you. He wants to use you. He wants to bless you. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 11. Look what it says. I back up verse 10. Pharisees came to Jesus, the religious crowd. One sinner destroyeth much good. And a religious crowd came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, and it says, and it came to pass as Jesus sat and meat in a house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. I'm so glad that Jesus hung around with sinners.
Yeah.
I'm glad he had mercy on sinners.
Amen.
You know what he says in the same passage? He tells the Pharisees, and they said, what are you hanging around sinners for? The Pharisees didn't consider themselves as sinners.
Right.
They didn't consider that. And look what the Bible says. He sat and meat. And it says, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said verse 10, and it came to pass when Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him to John, his disciples. He says, I've come to call not the righteous to salvation, but the sinners.
Yeah.
I'm a sinner saved by grace. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 19. Look in Luke chapter 19. One sinner destroyed much good. The Pharisees didn't see themselves as a sinner. They couldn't. You know why? They couldn't get saved until they see. It's just like a little child, what we read over in Romans. Until a child understands what sin is, they cannot get saved. He said, what happens to that child? That child is safe. You ain't got to worry about it. Tabby and Mike just had a little baby. Boy, that baby's safe.
Amen.
Them babies that Aramis and his wife, they're safe. Why? They don't understand what sin is. They don't understand that. We have folks that have been retarded children. They don't understand what sin is. The Bible says where there's no law, no sin is imputed. So here the Bible says... Jesus came to a sinner's house, and then they accused him of being sitting around with sinners and talking to him. Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants to save sinners. But I'll tell you what, as a sinner, we need to recognize that you're a sinner. You need to recognize that what one sinner destroys much good, and decisions I make, I got to be careful about. But Luke chapter 11, look what the Bible says. Luke chapter 11, verse 19. Luke 11, 19. And in verse 19, it says, Luke 11, and then verse 18, it says, if Satan also divide against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, talking about the devil. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come unto you. And with a strong man, am I at 19, 11, 19? Yeah. Okay, go to chapter 7. Go to chapter 7. That's where I wanted to go. Chapter 7 of Luke. Wrong place. Reading the wrong thing. Chapter 7 of Luke. One sinner destroyed much good. 7:37. There we go. 7:37. And it says, verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. Now, notice the Bible says she was a sinner. It says, when she knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And what it was, Mary Magdalene, she was a prostitute that came to Jesus Christ. And she repented. What I'm trying to show you this morning, one sinner destroyed much good, saved or lost. Hitler used his mouth, one sinner destroyed much good, destroyed thousands and millions of people. But then when the Bible calls this woman a sinner, and Jesus, verse 40, answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you, thee. And he said, say on. And Jesus was a certain creditor, had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water to my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil hast thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. But he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. The Lord can save sinners, and he can save people no matter where they came from, and he can have mercy on them. And the Lord can help you as a child of God make the right decisions, even though we're still saved sinners. God can help you make that right decision. And that's what we need to pray. We need to pray, God, help us make the right decision. The Bible says in John chapter 9, a sinner, talking about sinners, it says, how can a man that is a sinner also do such miracles? Talking about Jesus Christ. The Pharisees said, how can this man, which is a sinner, do such miracles? They asked the blind man that Jesus healed. They said, how can this sinner do much? And that blind man said this. He said, whether he be a sinner or not, one thing I know, I was once blind, but now I see. Amen. It says in Romans 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jesus Christ come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're sinners. If you're saved, you're a saved sinner. And as sinners, the Bible says, one sinner destroyeth much good. As sinners, you've got to be careful after you're saved. Even now, as a child of God, the devil can't get your soul. But the next best thing he could get is your wife, your children, your home, your body, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your whole everything. One sinner destroyeth much good. David lost four of his children because one sinner destroyeth much good. Achan, his whole family, because he desired the wedge of gold, the silver, all those things. He desired that more. And he caused so many to die, so many to hurt. One sinner destroyed much good. Now Jesus Christ come to seek and save sinners. If you heard this morning, I went two different ways. So saved and lost. Amen. If you're saved, make sure the decisions you make,
yes, sir,
prayerfully. Amen. When the devil works you over about woe is me, tell him to shut up. Get away from me, Satan. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get behind me. You tell the devil, get out of here. Leave me alone. As a lost person, the Bible says the Lord's knocking on your door. And he cares that much about your soul. He don't want you. He come to seek and to save that which is lost. He paid, the Bible said, being justified freely by his grace. He paid for your sins. You turn your back on him, you'll end up going to a devil's hell. You don't hear that in churches today. You don't hear that on TV. You don't hear preachers getting up saying, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. We need more of that. We need more people telling you better get saved. They say, well, that makes you kind of judgmental, doesn't it? No. You're saying what the Word of God says. You know what? I've been saved, I don't know how many, 40-some years now. I think I've had one person come up to give me a tract. And you know what? I've given people tracts that are saved. They say, well, I don't need that. Get away from me. I don't. They get offended. They get so offended about you trying to give me, I'm saved. I know where I'm going. Give that to somebody who needs it. I had one guy come give me a tract, and I shook his hand, and I thanked him. I said, thank you, brother. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for serving the Lord. One sinner destroys much good. I don't know what decisions you're going to make this week. And I'll tell you what, if you're here today, you're not saved, you better make a decision towards Jesus Christ. I talked to this young man, Peter. I said, you better get saved. Saved, saved, saved. You better get saved.
Amen.
The Bible talks about sin. It talks about sinners. We are all born in sin. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Wherefore, death passed upon all men. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved. If you're saved, praise God. How many are saved sinners in here this morning? Amen. Thank God. Live for God. Make the right decisions. Ask God to help you. Why? One sinner destroyeth much good. I don't know how many times I talk to people that made bad decisions, and they hurt their family. They've hurt their church. They've hurt their children, their grandchildren. They've hurt so many because they made a bad decision. One sinner destroyeth much good. That verse was popping. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It was just ringing in my ears. And I had calls all day long of people making bad decisions. How about you? The best decision you can make is towards Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The best decision as a child of God is before you do anything, Lord, help me, guide me, direct me. And I pray this a lot. I pray, God, don't let me mess up. She said, why, preacher? Well, you think you're going to go out into sin? Anybody in this room is capable of it. I'm capable of it. Anybody in this room, God, help me not to mess up. Help me to love you. Help me to serve you. You know what? That'll save you a lot of heartache.
Yes, sir.
If you're sincere, say, Lord, guide me, direct me. Help me not to make bad decision. One sinner, make it destroy. So what about somebody making a bad decision? Oh, God, forgive them.
Amen.
We'll help you try to get it right. That's the way our church is. We try to help people get things right. And we're not going to beat you up with it.
Yeah.
We're not going to beat you up if you make a bad decision. But I'll tell you what. Do yourself a favor. Do the church a favor. Do your family a favor before you make bad decisions. Say, Lord, prick me. Show me. Put the fear of God in me that I won't make those bad decisions. It can affect everything. It affected David. It affected Achan. It affected so many men in the Bible. Don't make bad decisions. One sinner destroyeth much good. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. That thing is powerful. God's able to forgive, but the law of sowing and reaping is still there. You reap what you sow. Young man, I told you about Wednesday night. His father called me up. His father quit preaching, quit going to church, and he told me, he said, he was a pastor. He told me, if I go back and start pastoring again or start going to church, my wife will leave me. He's telling me this, and he's asking me, will you talk to my son? He's in Atlanta, Georgia. He's 35 years old. He's been smoking dope all his life. He'd never keep a job. I called the boy up. I'm talking to him on the phone. And I said, what is your plan for life? 35 years old. You would think a guy would say, I plan on getting married. I want to have a family. I want to settle down. I would like to have a house or a picket fence and the whole deal. Raise the children. He said, my whole thing is I want to get to Denver, Colorado. I said, why? You can smoke dope out there legally. I can smoke dope in Denver legally. Where are you going to get the money? Well, I'll sell dope. One sinner destroys much good. I said, man, well, you talking about a wasted life. You going to waste your life? Well, that's what I want to do. Get out of my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. One sinner destroyed much good. So he ain't hurt nobody but himself. He hurt mom, dad, family. He's a joke to the church, I mean to their family. They get the family reunion. Hey, heard about Stephen? Just pothead. Idiot. One sinner destroyed much good. It's all about decisions, folks. If you're here today and you're not saved, today is a great day. Make a decision towards Jesus Christ. I didn't say Baptist. Now, we got some folks getting ready to get baptized. Y'all want to go ahead and get ready? Go ahead and get change your clothes and get ready for baptism. We got folks, and this is not salvation. All this is showing is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's showing that they are saved, and they're going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is obedience to Jesus Christ. That's all that is. It's obedience. I told somebody the other day, I said, when I got saved, for a year after I was saved. I didn't get baptized for a whole year. And my whole life was like this. It was up and down. I'd get drunk. I'd be out smoking dope. I'd be up living for God, then back down in the gutter, you know, and I know I was saved. And when I got baptized, my wife and I got baptized. We got baptized together. We got married. After that, it seemed like my life just started. I wasn't like a big climb, but I just started. At least I was heading in the right direction. And it wasn't a roller coaster anymore. And I always tell people, obedience in your life to God. Obedience, not to the pastor, not to the church, but obedience to God is the most important thing. Or one sinner destroys much good. It's up to you. Amen. All right. Father, thank you again today, God, for your mercy and grace. My Father, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord God, this morning, Lord, to think about that verse. May it ring in our ears, one sinner destroyeth much good. May it ring in our ears that, God, we would make right decisions. And, Father, we wouldn't mess up our lives and somebody else's life with it, or somebody's life that is connected in our family. I pray, God, for these children that's in this church. I know these bus kids come. Lord, they've got all kinds of different connections, Lord. And I pray you protect them, put a hedge about them. Lord, protect them from any man, beast, or devil of hell that will try to harm them. God, protect them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would help the families, the mamas and daddies. And if their daddy ain't around, help them, Father, help the mamas, God, give them wisdom how to raise those children. And I pray, Father, that, Lord God, for the daddy as well, I pray you help them to raise their children for you, for your honor, for your glory. Now, Lord, we're just so tired of seeing people ruin their lives and so tired of seeing people in heartaches and trouble because one sinner destroyed much good. Oh, my Father, we get tired of seeing it, get tired of hearing it. Lord, I deal with a lot, Lord. I pray, God, I know you know more than you deal with more than anything I could ever imagine. But I pray, God, you would please help my brothers and sisters this morning. I pray, help Faith Baptist Church that, God, we would be careful about decisions that we make. And, God, how we present ourselves before the world, that, God, that we would be your children, God, giving you honor and glory and giving you praise in our lives. Thank you again, God. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, George, why don't you come up and lead a song here, and I'll get ready.
All right, let's go ahead and stand in our big hymn books to 245, The Old Account Was Settled. That's some good preaching. That went right along with what I taught in Sunday school this morning. I mean, right on the money. All but the verse I used. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and sold it long ago. Well, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled. Said that I was settled, and I felt it long ago, well, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago. Hallelujah! And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. When in the happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled, and I settled it long ago, well, long ago, long ago. sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. We'll sing one more. 63, what a day that will be. Page 63, what a day that will be. There is coming a day. That's wrong. Hang on. Hold up. I messed up. There is coming a day when the heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day.
Daily, our weekly bath here. Amen.
My name's Earl. I got saved here a couple years ago. And I've been going to church my whole life, but at Youth Ablaze, George made me mad. And then that got me a kickstart and getting right. And then
Amen.
Now my friend's sitting up all in front of us. So.
Amen.
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 How old are you, Earl? 14?
16.
16.
That's a big boy.
Amen.
That's why Earl, Brother Earl's got, his dad's got to work two jobs. Feed that boy. Give a word testimony, brother.
I got saved in 2008 and glad to be coming here to this church and thank all y'all for your support and everything.
Pray for Brother Bill. All right. Bill, upon you, profess your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority vested in me as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize my brother in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, bearing the likeness of his death.
Amen.
It's a wonder we didn't have water splashing out of here.
Pretty hot. Oh, okay. Okay, so I got saved March the 2nd of 2014, and I wasn't doing right, but I kind of, like, played it off, and then I stopped coming to church, and then when I went to Youth Blaze, I got right, and yep, that's
Amen.
It.
Amen.
By the authority invested in me as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptized my sister in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried the likeness of his death. Raised life and his resurrection.
Amen. Amen.
Next. This is not salvation. This water does not turn into the blood of Jesus. This is just get some wet, but it's obedience.
Amen.
Obedience. People get that mixed up. They think the water washes away their sin. That doesn't do it. Yeah. It was good, doesn't it? Give more testimony.
I'm 15. I got saved February 28th, 2016. And I just knew that I wanted to do right and serve God.
Amen.
So, And I knew that the road I was going down wasn't going to be good if I didn't.
And how old are you?
15.
And what's your name?
Tatiana.
Tatiana. Did I say it right? Tatiana. That grandma?
No.
Okay.
Well, Mama and Papa.
Okay. By the authority invested in me as minister of Lord Jesus Christ, by the testimony of your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize my sister in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, and the light of his resurrection. Amen. I got her up, no problem.
I got saved back in 2001. I've been coming to this church probably off and on for about 10 years now. April helped me, so, but I want to live for God.
Amen, sister. Amen. By the authority vested in me as a minister of Lord Jesus Christ, by your testimony of faith in Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize my sister in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, who's been laid. Very much. You know, we didn't get that top part. We got to get that part.
Okay.
Who's next?
Come on up, baby. I'll stand to the side.
Here she comes.
I'm wearing socks, so.
You're wearing socks?
I'm wearing socks. It's like a sauna. Oh, wow. That was warm.
You don't recognize your husband. Oh. Where's
that's
her husband in?
Oh. Hi, I'm Claudia Payton, and I got saved 2 years ago in March. Actually, nobody was around, but I just, Roe Dudley, he led me to the Lord.
Amen. Yeah. All right, Claudia.
All right.
By the authority invested in me as a minister of Lord Jesus Christ, upon your profession of faith, Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister. Oh.
Oh.
They're going to be floating there. All right. You messed me up. Where was I? By the authority invested in me as a minister of Lord Jesus Christ, upon your profession of faith, Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried and likes his death. His resurrection. Woo! Go drag your husband in here. That it?
That's it.
Well, amen. Let's all stand and be dismissed. And appreciate y'all waiting around to see that. That's a blessing. My wife and I are going down to Popeye's Chicken if anybody wants to meet us down there. All right. Yeah. Father, thank you again today for your mercy and grace. I pray you bless the food and that we're going to receive later. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.